What's going on, guys? Welcome or welcome back to Say Less. And today, I don't know, we have a bit of an unexpected guest. I don't know. You know you've seen him before. Like, just randomly doom scrolling on your phone, you know, and you see those random interviews, those street interviews of people turning a corner and they're saying something intensely unimaginable. And you're just like, bro, how do you even find these people? So please welcome Paki. How do you find these people? Yay!
I find them on campus. Funny enough, I try and like, it sounds bad, but I try and filter for people that look like they're in distress. So
you look for people that are in distress, Paki.
Like you do it enough times, you can see a type of person that will give you a good story versus
Paki. You generalize people to no man.
But this... am I wrong?
Yes. I mean, it gets you where you need to be. Like, it gets you your content. But damn, Paki, what do you mean you know when someone's struggling? What does that even mean?
There's a certain look. I don't want to describe it further before I get cut.
Mind you, Paki's interviewed me.
No. It's like, influencers don't come.
Yeah, Paki, whatever you have to say. Don't you want to tell us that look? Tell us that look.
Usually I go for people that look like super arty, because they super opinionated. They usually have a lot to say.
That's fair.
It's just the vibe. I can't really put it into words. You just like, okay.
So you just look at the person and you're like, okay, you're like, so yeah, I can see that you have a story to tell. Whether it's negative or positive, I don't care. Come on, tell it with me. I'm joking.
Yeah, you've been waiting for this moment to open up and share, and hopefully someone connects with you. You know, it's all about framing.
When did you start like with the interviews? Or with that specific niche of interviews, I guess.
This year. I started this year, Jan.
And you grew a lot from it, eh?
Yeah, I think in 1 month I got like 50,000 followers.
Jesus.
Yeah. Just off that, it went super viral.
Okay. But when it comes to interviewing people like who don't want their face to be shown, how do you go about that? Because I always wonder about that.
So it was actually, the concept wasn't premeditated. I usually ask people, do you want to be on an interview? Some people are reluctant. And then I was like, actually, you don't have to show your face. Actually, someone suggested that. She was like, can I not show my face? I'm like, how do we go about that? She said, I can turn around. And then we never turned back after that.
What's the craziest confession you've ever gotten from someone that maybe you didn't post or you did post? It's up to you.
Oh, there's a lot, eh?
A lot of bad ones. I want the juicy stuff.
I mean, if you
stuff.
Don't show your face, it's bad.
You have something to hide. You have something
to... Yeah, so I think the one was the person that spent his tuition, registration money to go out clubbing with the boys.
I saw that video. Your parents, no.
And
you need to refund them. That is just not okay.
He was literally, Mr. Content Creator, pay my fees. I'm like, whoa.
Dude, I'm barely scraping by as is.
Yeah, and there've been also some confessions that I just felt like a bit
uncomfortable
to post, like people like Grape unaliving themselves or wanting to. Then I was like, that's a bit too much.
Yeah, that is not something you want to have on the internet, especially with like censorship and stuff like that on platforms like TikTok and Instagram, and like reporting, because that's also like. Those that can be triggers for a lot of people. Yeah.
Funny enough, I got dragged for being insensitive with the confession stuff.
How are you insensitive? You just didn't say anything.
That's the problem. So they want me to hug the person on camera, console them, give a word of advice, where it sounds like it takes away from the content, and what I want to do is platform you, and then the conversation we have afterwards is a conversation we have afterwards. But people want me to almost like play psychologist online.
But like, also, I don't know if you're studying psychology or not.
I'm not.
Yeah, so then why? I feel like that shouldn't be your responsibility. It was their choice to share.
But you know the internet, they find any reason to get mad. Woo! Yeah, they find any reason to make you look
bad. Guys, I don't know what I did. Like, I would like to know what I did. The hate is kind of very mean, and it sometimes gets to me. Please stop.
Anyways, I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
What's the most negative comments you've ever received, and what's your relationship with the comment section?
That's a great question. The most negative comment I received is probably that, like, I think someone was like, oh, like, someone, ugh, there's always people who are calling you ugly, like, oh, you're not good, like, you're not pretty, you're not good enough, whatever. But I remember someone was just like, oh, or most, a lot of people for the past couple of weeks were like, oh my gosh, you're so ungrateful to your mother, like, do you even like her? She works so hard for you. I was like, and that hurts a lot, like,
yeah,
that's my mom, like, I appreciate her so much, you guys don't even understand. But because you, I don't know whether you just want to hate or find a reason not to like me, or you think that my behavior is not normal in your type of environment, that you're going to assume that, which is just not the truth. I love my mom. She's my best friend. And just like negative comments about the people that I love, or that, like, yeah, or like not a specific comment, but also repetitive comments.
Yeah.
I think that's what gets to me the most. Like, when a comment is, like, really reoccurring. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, people having something to say about body image, or when people have anything to say about, like, the way I look, like, in terms of my facial features, or my accent. I didn't really take that to heart. It was just like, bro, you guys are making it seem like there's something wrong with me when I know there isn't. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
I feel like your content isn't, like, I mean, this is my assumption, isn't as personal as mine.
Yeah.
So you don't get as, like, negative comments. I don't know. I haven't gone through them.
So prior, like, before the confession stuff, I did have, like, personal content where I had, like, a sit down with a friend of mine and would go back and forth. And yeah, I get the typical hate. Foreign.
Oh, yeah. Fuck is a Congolese boy. My Congolese boy.
Go to your country, you know, the typical.
But mind, like, you can't even speak French, but we move on.
Yeah, I've been here all my life, man. I don't know what to do.
Like, if his mom heard me speak French, she'd be like, oh my God, mon chéri, voilà. Non, mais oh, viens, on va bien cuisiner dans mon cuisine. Viens. T'inquiète même pas. Aïe. Voilà, t'es ma fille, t'inquiète pas. Là, maintenant, dans ce moment-là, tu es ma fille.
Your French is so good.
Thank you. That was an accent, by the way.
It shocks me.
I'll put the translation. Don't worry, Sen. Just ask me for it. Don't worry.
It shocks me every time.
Nah, so, like, in translation, what I was saying was, oh my gosh, you're literally my daughter. Like, you're amazing. Like, come cook with me. We're going to do everything together right now. In this moment, you are my child.
Yeah. Period.
One dude, go away.
Clock
it. Clock it.
I think for me, like, my relationship with the comment section was very bad initially, because everything was so personal, and you, like you said, recurring comments, and you like, why is everyone saying this? Is this partially true? Like, what's going on? But I adopted a mechanism where it's, I tell myself, okay, cool. If something hurts me, and it's not true, why is it bothering me? So either someone says I'm dumb, I'm ugly, or whatever,
Bro. Give a round of applause for this guy. Leaves his ring on set. Wow.
I'm sorry, I'm new here.
The 1D clapping is actually funnier than this entire thing. We need a camera on 1D while we're filming. Like, I feel like that would add so much character to the show. But anyways.
Yeah, so essentially it's like a win-win situation for me, how I framed it. I'm like, if someone tells me something negative and it's bothering me, well, I get to know something about myself. And if I truly believe it's not true, then it shouldn't bother me. So ever since I adopted that mindset, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you know, stuff that shouldn't bother you, but they bother you. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me sit with that and investigate why I feel like this. Okay, someone says I'm stupid. Is this factual? Like, why would it be factual? I know me more than they know me. And just decipher it in that way. And most of the time, I'm like, oh, dude. And also, you do make mistakes on the internet. So, yeah.
I feel like that's a very, like, emotionally intelligent way of looking at it. I wish I looked at it that way, but that takes a lot of time, personally. I don't know. For me, it was a thing of, I knew people would always have something to say about me or my lifestyle ever since I was a kid. Excuse me. So it was a thing of, okay, but these people don't actually know who I am.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know my personal life. They don't know me, like, actually when I'm in my home in my sweats watching my shows, or when I'm out with my friends, because I know there's a difference between the two. And you have to be able to... like realize that difference and like put a boundary there for yourself.
What would you say is the major difference between the two?
Pucky, is this my podcast?
Sorry, I'm just intrigued. Go crazy.
No, sorry. What were you saying? No. I'm joking. Don't worry. Yeah.
What would you say is the difference between the two? The like outward person you portray or part of you versus.
So in terms of work, that is your brand. Mm. What you display on the internet, in a boardroom, no matter where it is, if you're working for it and it's people that you don't engage with on a daily basis, that is your brand. You protect it. That is how everyone who does not know you directly will perceive you. And personally, that is... And then when you're speaking about like a personal type of person, you think about like the fact that, oh, I'm emotionally like intact with these people. Like they know who I am. I care about their opinion. They care about mine. It's all about the connection you have with people that differentiates it, I guess. Like you're not going to say the same thing you say to your friend, to someone who's like, oh my God, who's a supporter. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not going to say the same thing to them because it's two different things. You're like, oh my God, this person appreciates what I work so hard for. And then this person appreciates the person who I am. So
solid answer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anyways, before Pucky asks me another question, why did you want to make that shift to interviewing? Did you just like, was it curiosity or did you see other people doing it? Or was it like a niche that you saw was like kind of lacking in this country specifically?
So it was premeditated. It's taking longer, you know,
saying premeditated sounds like you're talking about murder.
The audience does.
Wait, Wendy, please cut that because that actually sounds like I think about murder on a daily basis when it isn't. It's just that the first time I heard that word, yeah, it's when you're watching like big shows and they're like, oh my God, premeditated murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but like initially, I wanted to do podcasting. I still do, like later on. But my thought process around it was, okay, cool. I'm this random guy. I have no social capital. How do I make people interested in my life? So I took the approach of doing public interviews just to cement myself in the industry and then start slowly like making it personal. So once they know me as this public interview avatar guy, it's easier to transition into anything versus like I'm this random guy with the 1 hour podcast. Like the topic can be good, but if your face is not familiar, it's very hard. So that was the thought process around it. And then I just got sidetracked.
No, you didn't get sidetracked. Side quests are important for life.
Yeah, I think it's a ongoing learning journey. I think I'll end up there when I'm ready or when I choose to be. But like initially, I was like, I want to be in the entertainment space. I want to be in media, period. But that was the easiest route at the time. I was like, okay, public interviews, you see it in the States. No one is really doing it to that capacity here. Mm-hmm. And the people that are doing it here, it's overly sexualized. Let me try and like make it a bit more deep, meaningful, like ask actual questions and see how it's received. And I think people enjoyed just the newness of it.
I love that, but it really catches people off guard, I think. It caught me off guard. Pucky randomly during a photo shoot that I was doing for him for this amazing company Counterfeit that he has with his mommy.
Shout out.
Anyways, I was there as a favor to a friend, actually. This is how me and Pucky met.
Yeah.
As a favor to a friend, he was like, oh my God, can you please do this for me? I was like, okay, fine. And then I get there. I'm like 2 hours late and I'm rocking up. And then I walk in and Pucky is wearing a samurai suit, but like a counterfeit one with like a whole outfit. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot. Let's just get on these clothes, you know, keep it moving. And then, we just kind of hit it off because we both spoke French and we were both like, I guess, content creators. And then he's like, oh, can I pull you for an interview? Whatever. I was like, okay, cool. Whatever. Sure. I love interviews. And this guy looks at me. What was the first question?
What's something you wish people better understood about you?
No, that wasn't the deep one. It was like, what is your biggest regret? I said, excuse me? Sir, I met you today. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Like, and having to think emotionally on the spot is a really hard thing to do. But for me personally, because you don't think about those things all the time, right? Because you push them back. So having to like, I guess, because I remember it took me a time because I had to think about it. I was like, okay, guys, wait, give me a second and think about it. I had to think about it and be like, okay, like what is going on here? Like,
It's just such transition of mood. Eh? We were like, ah!
Yeah, we were literally there
dancing.
Tell me
about your trauma.
Tell me about all your childhood trauma. What makes you ick as a person? Like, what? Nah, that's an interesting story, though. I really love that for you.
Thank you.
But did you just want to create content in general, like, at the beginning of it?
Yeah, okay. The story actually goes back. So, in high school, I used to be a rugby player. I played for the Lions.
Of course you did.
You know, the typical Yabu.
Of course you did.
You
get
you
a lot of this big Congolese guy over here. What other sport would he have done other than basketball or rugby, guys?
So, all of my life, I had this mindset of, like, I'm going to play professional rugby. That's who I am. Cool. I play provincials. I'm on the right track of making it. Cool. I get into university. I'm on a bursary. I manage to play, like, for the under 19 sides of the Lions. And then I just start getting injured. Like, I broke my third metacarpal. I dislocated my jaw. I tore my ACL, the iconic one. You know, I could have been an athlete if it wasn't for, that's me. That is literally.
Bore me again.
And I found myself, like, almost chilling for, like, 2-3 years. And I had to, like, rediscover myself and actually figure out, like, where am I besides the sport? And I was doing content for fun. And then while doing content for fun, I graduate, did BCom Business Management. Cool, I get a 9-to-5 job. And I'm like, I should be happy. This is everything people wish for, right? This is what I've been working towards. And yeah, I just found myself depressed. I was like, I hate it here. I was like super depressed. I'm like, I don't want to be here, and I don't get why I'm unhappy. Because when I tell everyone, like, I hate my job and I only do media, they're like, what?
You're
like, you know the unemployment rates. Do you know how it is to be in the position you are? And I was like, I don't need you guys to understand it, but, like, it's just not for me. It was like
a gut feeling.
Rock top moment. You know, you did everything they told you that would make you happy, and you're sitting with yourself and you're not happy. And the worst thing to feel when you're depressed or feeling any sense of depression, or at least from my experience, is when people tell you you should be okay. Like, you feel empty, and people are like, no, your life is perfect, man. And you're like, okay, am I crazy? Like, why am I feeling this despite what people outside are saying?
Is it like imposter syndrome in a way?
Not entirely. Like, I wouldn't say I didn't feel deserving of, like, having the job and stuff. I just felt like it wasn't my path. I felt like there's more for me. I think the more I sit down and think with it, I think the dopamine I used to get from sports, like people cheering you on, being the main center of stuff, it kind of, like, builds an ego. Like, and the closest thing to that high was, like, content creation. So you get the people reassure you again, and you get that dopamine rush, because people, no matter how you want to put it, you're putting yourself out there. You enjoy the benefits of it, the people acknowledging you, people thinking you're cool, whatever. So I had that in sports, and once it got taken away and I'm in a cubicle, I'm like, is this the end? Is this what I succumb to?
Oh, get a load of this guy. Mr. Drama over here, Mr. Dramatic. But when it came to, like, finding motivation to, I don't know if you left that job, but leave that job.
Yeah, I left the job. Yeah.
You left the job? Yeah. To be able to, like, leave that job and be like, okay, I want to do this, and have people who support you in that. Like, do you have, like, a support system, or, like, how does that work?
Yeah, I do have a support system. I'm very, like, individualistic. I'm very much me-focused to a certain extent. But the person that I care for the most is my mom. And I kind of felt
my,
like,
queen. When are you cooking for me? Oui, le foufou.
Hi,
oui, le
mom, foufou. I'm on TV.
Sky, bro. See why we don't bring... No, let me not say anything mean like that. Because then they're going to say I'm xenophobic, but this is actually my friend. So.
Yeah, you... Yeah. Before they attack us.
They're going to see us tomorrow.
Yeah, so more than anything, I felt like I was disappointing my mom. And then when I spoke to her and I told her how I was feeling, and she was like, you know what, do what you want. I think you'll be successful in any avenue that you choose to pursue. I was like, okay, cool. That's all I needed. And ever since that, I kept it pushing.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's how I feel about my mommy. Shout out to mommies in the world, guys.
Shout out.
We love you. Anyways, yeah, what about like navigating a public relationship?
Specifics. Give me specific questions.
I have questions and I'm going to ask them.
I think it's chilled. I don't challenge in that capacity. Like, I think the major thing is because I speak to a lot of people and, you know, sometimes girls are flirtatious to some degree and stuff. I go back home and there's a bit of a back and forth, but like nothing really major has happened from it. And I'm also very much like... I'm also like very out there about it. So people, like most people respect that.
I love that. Yeah. I respect that. They are the cutest little couple. It is so adorable. That is his wife. But yeah, we move my on. Wife.
How's it for you? Let's talk. Come on. It's not just about me.
So Paki, when it comes to like, I guess everyone always wants to know about the brand deals, you know, how to get them, I guess, how much, like how to figure out your rates. How did you figure out your rates? I know my rates, you know, figuring out your rates, being able to reach out to them or if they come to you, what type of content you have to create around that for them to come to you. You know what I mean? Like the appeal, is it doing it in a specific niche? Is it mask producing content? Is it targeted content? Like, what do you do specifically?
Yeah, I'm not a guru, but I'll just speak on my experience. So when I started off, I was struggling for a bit. Like the first year I was doing content. And when I got to like a decent following at the time, I think it was like 30 something K, I took initiative. So I was like, okay, cool. If I'm approaching brands, I'm going to have a little pitch deck on why it would make sense for you to work with me. I'll be like, these are my demographics. This is my reach. This is your product. This is the story I'm going to tell. And this is why it would work. I kind of give them no leeway to say no. I do like all the like what the agency should be doing for them straight up and propose. And I started picking up high engagements, but like I was also, I'm very obsessive with everything I do. So I did it at scale. I didn't say no for an answer. And I started getting like one contract. I got like a year contract for some coding company and I was producing for them content.
I wish I had like the balls to do that, low-key. Like I just feel like, oh, like maybe I should like work towards them coming to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Law of attraction.
That's the typical trajectory of most influencers. But then at the time I was like, I don't have that privilege. I'm like, I have to make it work. Like I can't like wait for this. Let me take autonomy and
when I say nah, Zogtol, yes. Zogtol.
Let me put things into my own hands. Like even with brand deals, and now I'm getting quite a few.
Do you handle everything yourself, or do you have like an agency or manager?
I handle everything myself.
Simple.
I handle everything. Why would you want that though? It's so much admin.
No, I'm a softie. They're gonna tell me the first price, and I know that's not how much I'm worth. But I'm gonna be like, okay. I need someone else to do my bidding.
Oh, I see.
Well, I don't need that. I've learned to be more assertive because I'm just like, damn, like I was supposed to make this much, but now I'm getting this much because I can't say no.
How do you justify your pricing?
That is, well, it's more of a analytics thing. Mm. Like it's more math based. I didn't really do it. I asked my mom's agency to help me with it, like to find my rates. So obviously they go through your all your analytics and see how much that would be worth to a company, your reach, your brand, your value, obviously, like all of that put together, and also like how much you could deliver for them. So you obviously set a high bar for yourself. So like all of that combined, I guess, is what makes your rate card, like depending on the social media. But yeah,
because I've worked with different companies, like even in like somewhat an agency capacity, and a lot of people send rate cards and it's like people are just vibing. People just are sucking their thumb and coming up with a random number. A lot of people don't know
how to. Yeah, that's not how you're supposed to do it, guys. I know that's what you think you're worth, and that's great. We love that, but you also have to take it from an analytic and like how do I say, logical point of view.
Mm. And a lot of people lowball themselves. They're like,
I've seen some crazy, like, these, especially American companies, they are lowballing these influencers tremendously. Like, I heard an influencer who has a pretty, like, big following. They're like, oh, yeah, they're just going to pay me, like, 4K, I said.
Yeah, I know.
4 to 7K. But you have over 100,000 followers. Always.
Yeah, always. I know. The game's cold, though. If they can do it, they'll do it. I've seen it a lot. Like, the negotiating process, you're like, okay, rates. They try and half it. You're like, nah. And then they come back slightly. You're like,
shout out to
nah.
My manager. Shout out to Uncle Tavs. That man always gets me what I'm worth. Love you, boo. It's all you, boo.
Yeah. So it's good to have, like, people that represent you within the industry that know how to play the game. A lot of people don't, though.
How did you learn your worth? Or are you still learning?
Trial and error. Like just speaking to people. Also, I create connections with, like, the agencies, the people that work there. I also speak to other influencers and try and gauge, like, okay.
It's not how it works. It works differently with everyone. It's up to your niche, right? It's up to how many followers, but not only followers, your engagement. It's also different types of engagement, and it's worth how many deliverables you have, like, they're asking you for. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so if you're in a saturated niche, it's like, you know, standard. But if you, like, in tech or something, your rates goes crazy because there aren't a lot of, like, tech influencers. There are a lot of beauty influencers, but, like, it depends on your niche, and certain niches have higher budget than others.
How was it, like, choosing your niche? Because I suck at choosing a niche because I'm an idiot and I love everything. Mm. So
I don't know if I found my niche yet.
And that's okay. Honest. You know what? And that's fair. That's okay.
I think I'm like the interviewing thing, but it's so broad you can almost.
What are your rates, Pucky?
Huh?
What are your rates, Pucky?
Huh?
What are your rates, Pucky?
Let's go. You tell me yours, I tell you mine. Let's go.
Nah, because. What if, like, I try and negotiate higher than my rate?
No one's watching, bro. It's just me and you, dog.
No, it's not, bro. No, it's not. It's not just me and you. It's never just me and you. Ugh.
Yeah.
No, it's so what's your rates?
It's good. It's a good amount. It's reasonable.
Reasonable?
Yeah.
How reasonable?
Very, very.
What does that mean, Pucky? Share with the world, you know?
Take it how you want.
Okay, if you're just starting out, right? If you had to restart everything from scratch, what would you do?
I'd probably do, like, the type of videos I'm doing now much faster. Also, I kind of understand media better. Like, initially, I was just putting out content and hoping it would do well. Now, I understand the hook, storytelling, a lot of the stuff.
Can you tell us more about that? Because I also need to learn a lot about, like, I guess the storytelling with videos, because I can kind of do it, yeah. But I'm not the best at it.
So, like, let's say for a hook, if you're a unknown creator, the first 3 seconds is all you have. So you have to make sure your opening line is powerful. Whatever you're selling, whatever story you're saying, you have to start with, like, the most audacious statement that will keep people there. That will actually make people interested. And then storytelling elements is what I realized, especially with content creation and my journey, is that you are an individual and no one cares, bro. Like, people want a value exchange from you. So let's say if you're an educational creator, what am I getting from you? What do I get from Tando's videos? Am I getting entertained? So you need to understand what is the value exchange. Why is someone spending 1 minute of their life watching you? So once you understand what you have to offer, it's easier to frame your content into that. And I think brands also get that because they're like, okay, cool, this person is this avatar and we want to apply this into whatever he sells or whatever his community likes about him. So, yeah, I didn't understand it. I was just vibing. Dance on TikTok, random story. Like,
hey, guys, bring back 2020, guys. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like, and I'm not a hot girl, so it wasn't working.
Bro said I'm not a hot girl. Okay, fuck you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. Thanks.
It wasn't working. It was not for me.
You guys said I'm not a hot girl. Ooh,
am I lying, though? Like, that's not the value that people wanted from
me. Must go sing Premier Gawa on TikTok. See how good it gets. Hey! Oh, that is my song. Play that any function. I'm on the floor.
That's a banger.
No, Jen, you know they didn't make any money from that?
Really?
Yeah, they sold the song to a white man, and that white man makes all the money from it. They don't get a cent.
Till this day, nothing. Yeah. Damn, bro, free my brothers, dog.
Bro, like, they deserve everything. Like, it was... Brothers. It was such a good... It is such a good song. The East... is it East African?
Yeah.
East African, yeah. Like... When's the last time you were in Congo?
When I was 2 years old. Guys, are you also going to tell me to go back? I get this enough from...
I'm not saying go back. I'm saying bro is saying he's Congolese, but can't speak the language. He hasn't been back in like a billion years. Like, yeah. Okay. Like, it's okay.
Maybe I'll go this December.
He's lying, but we move. I was... Tax. We don't have tax. Well, we're getting tax. They've talked about it, actually.
What do you mean we don't have tax? They're going to come for you.
You see, Stella, you're the problem. You're taking away my money. No. Wandy, please, I want to watch this episode before it's released. Thank you. I'm not talking about
let's,
that.
Let's start again, tax.
Huh? No, they want to start taxing us. But I don't want to talk about that because then they're going to be reminded that they need to tax us. And I don't want to be taxed. Yeah. They want to be able to also tax, like exchanges. Like the, like, what's it called? Like the product PR that they packages, give you. Yeah. I'm like, how do you... Like, no, no.
They'll tax you the value of the product.
Why me? I didn't do nothing. Like, it's a gift, bro. It's a gift. Ugh. Yo. And then, no.
You want to speak about it?
I'm scared. I don't want them to start taxing us. Like,
I think they will, regardless of the conversation we have. I think they just it's such an untapped market for them. Because influencers are making a lot.
And they're making stupid amounts of money because of the fact that companies... logistically have a quota that they need to meet when it comes to marketing. They need to spend a certain amount of money. Like, they have a budget, they need to spend that budget. And if they don't want to do conventional ads, then they go to influencers, throw money at them, but everyone's happy. That's why people are getting also paid like stupid amounts of money.
And they get return more than anything. I don't think they're gonna do it if it wasn't effective. There are certain influencers that just like influence.
No,
for
but
real.
Even like not random, but like people who don't have a really big reach, like they'll just give them. I don't know. Maybe it's like mass production because they also give them like a lot of money. No.
That's connection.
I don't know.
I would say mostly when that happens, it's like you know someone that knows someone and they're plugging you in.
I don't know enough about that particular conversation, but about that texting conversation, most of the people are kids. Okay, let's think about this. You know, let's think about why are we laughing? What is so funny? Let's.
Yeah, like for me with the texting stuff, I already pay taxes. Like I registered my company,
so I
pay myself a salary. So like I've on the money with that. Yeah, so.
Pay yourself a salary.
Yeah. I don't just, like, take everything I earn and, like...
No, I'm not saying that, but, like, how much do you get taxed for that income?
It depends on your tax bracket.
So now, what's your tax bracket, huh? I love talking to Senna, even though no one can see. I don't know why. It brings, like, a lot of different, like, things. Yeah, you really messed me up with that taxing conversation. I'm in such a flipping bad mood now. Like, like, what did we do? Is it just South Africa or is it like globally?
I'm not too sure.
It's just SA. For now, Cyrus is about to take
South African influences. So for now, SARS wants to tax South African influences.
So it's just SARS. You understand? Are you carving? It's no one else
but
is having this
convo. There's nothing we can do. You want no boycott?
We're not. You can leave. Others cannot leave. Okay. We're not. You can leave. Others. We don't have the
thing. I think I'm getting brand deals in Congo.
Have you never been there, Wandile? There was just a war there, but they shut down the airport.
there's no time to dance, dude.
There is no time. Oh my god, you know my friend, I probably should be saying this is really bad for PR of Congo, but like my friend was there during the war because he was going to school there. They shot at his car, bro. This guy's just trying to get back from school. Like, it was so deep, yo. And they were like, he was hearing bombings. Like, I feel so bad for him. Like, I would call him and all the time and be like, yo, are you good?
Is he okay now?
Yeah, he's in Lebanon for university now.
Oh, okay.
My Zim. No, but like, how would you inform other influencers to use their platforms? Like, in terms of media training and PR and stuff like that? What would you warn them about, I guess, is my big question.
Okay, firstly, I would say don't get lost in the source, because I know it is hard. And the negative thing about social media is you get, like, positive reinforcements from the bad content. So over sexualization, like, you know, the whole, like, flirting, this not entirely flirting, but, like, degrading women. They should shy away. So there's this major problem where, like, what gets you views is not getting you brand deals.
Yeah, that is true.
So there's a lot of influencers that have crazy numbers, but they're just not brand friendly. Now you're out here with, like, 200K, 300K followers, and you're broke.
Yeah.
So I'd say just back to the previous conversation, know what value you're giving and understand that, like, views doesn't necessarily equate to money. Unless you're a YouTuber and then you're racking up views and you can sustain that, cool. But, like, if you're trying to be an influencer and get brand deals, it's really hard. But in the same breath, it's like you could go stay super, super dirty. And then when you're on the top, the brands are like, yo, we can't ignore the numbers. But also that means you're going to
be broke for a while.
Star for a while.
Like, yeah, get stuck up on your 2-minute noodles. Cheap. Yeah.
What do you think makes one brand friendly? Like, how would you
It's how your brand is viewed. Because obviously let me actually keep quiet. I was going to talk about other influencers here, but I mind my business. It's more of a thing of staying out of drama, because they don't like, the brands genuinely don't like drama in the, like, involved with their products and involved with their own brand. So, like, I guess stay out of, like, problems. Like, don't be, I'm trying to find the word, like,
stay out of controversy.
Yeah. Don't be controversial is what I'm trying to say. And then, like, have a clear view on your content. Like, be very intentional with your content too. And also, you can also sometimes just ask. Like, if you're just like, oh my gosh, like, I love this product. Don't you guys want to send it to me? Like, I'll review it. Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can, like, it never hurts to try.
Yeah. And also, there's, like, the presentation components. Like, make sure your camera is clean. Make sure the area looks nice. Make sure you're in an environment where a brand would like to associate their product with, or you portray a lifestyle that meets their vision. Like, if we're saying Red Bull, Coke, like, what type of customer avatar do you think they appeal to, and are you presenting yourself in that manner?
But also, if you're willing to, like, be, when it comes to your brand, when it comes to my brand, I don't know about you, I am very, like, strict on it. Like, I'm just like, okay, no, I don't want to be involved in this. Like, please,
yeah.
Like, I might be here. I don't want to see pictures. I don't want to see phones. If I'm with my friends, just not happening. It's really a thing of keeping it clean, keeping it cute and clean. Like, oh yeah, sure, you're doing something funny, but it's going to ruin your brand. Don't do it. Like, it's just, it's things like that for me. I don't know if that makes, like, sense. It makes sense in my head.
It makes sense. Don't worry. Okay. We got you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What would you do differently if you had to start again?
I don't even know. I'm being so honest. I've thought about this, but, like, I started with a leg up, and I'm okay to admit that. I'm happy with that. That's what my mother built for me.
Yeah.
But starting from, like, the bottom, I don't know, because I know how to build on what I already have. So I couldn't honestly tell you what I would do, because I've never been in that situation, honestly.
That's interesting. Do you think you are going to take the same career trajectory or path if it wasn't for your mom, or we never know?
I will never know. I'm an industry kid. So, like, I've always been surrounded by creativity in the industry. So it's obviously, I feel like it's in my blood, because both of my parents were in the industry. But so it was, like, you know, corporate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to let it drop. Okay, so now that we've gotten the nitty-gritty out of the way, we're going to play a game, okay? It's a new game. It's called Illustrated, okay? So we are going to, there's going to be two pictures up there, like, mostly two emojis, right?
It's okay.
Like, emoji plus whatever emoji, and you have to guess what the word means. Okay. If you guess right, you get a
sweet.
Yeah. If you guess wrong, Pucky gets called a loser.
Are you good at this game?
I think so. I've played it on my phone. But it was, like, called something different, obviously. We're original around these parts.
Shout out Illustrated.
Yeah, Illustrated. That's what we went for. So could we please have the images, Sir Wendy? Wait, who's it for? Is this mine?
Coffee.
That's no, actually. It's yours. So he got it. Can you please count points, Senna? Okay, next one's mine.
Can we make it competitive so you just call your name out? What?
That was a coffee emoji. No.
What's the difference between a coffee and a tea emoji?
Tea is lighter. Coffee is dark.
That looked like coffee.
That is coffee.
But it's fine.
Okay, cool. Always. What the hell?
Burr, tea break.
Fuck. Always. It's like this fucking... Where's my bell, Senna? Why don't I have a bell? That is... Is this how we're gonna do it? Okay. Pucky, you can do your dumb... Brr. Is that a farmer? I don't know. Is that like what, Burger King or something? I don't eat meat. What is that, farmer?
Sheep.
Old McDonald?
Bro, that was so bad.
I got it.
Who comes up with this emojis?
I don't even know. And the quality, too. They look like they were drawn
there
on.
There was so much happening. Why was there sheep there?
Yeah, it's all like, why did you put a farmer? Enough. You could have just put a burger and like an M, guys. Australia? Thank you. Suck it, Pucky.
Okay, let me lock in.
Okay.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I get all the sweets.
Damn.
I'll share because I'm not a big bag.
Thank you.
No problem. Do you have these in Congo?
No. We have better ones, bro. They make it with cassava leaf. It's called Pondu. Check it out.
Okay, King. Anyways.
Serious, check it out.
So the next game is like circular words, right? That's the name for now. That's what it is for now, okay? So there's going to be like a circle on the screen, right? And then like the word is going to be written around it. And it kind of looks really confusing, but you have to guess what the word is.
Okay.
Let me get my bell.
Government.
No, you can't say it before you buzz it.
Wow. Oh, okay. We'll take it out. We take it out. It's 0-0.
Sorry. Senna's making me mad.
0-0.
Technology. Mountain.
Oh. Oh, let's go some more.
I think we could do some more. Okay. If you just, if Senna would just like to put random emojis together. So basically now we're going for a second round because Pucky feels like a sore loser.
I want sweets, blood.
Okay. Let's go.
Oh, whoa. Where does it start? Got it. Economics.
Thank you.
That's so trippy.
Bro, that was insane. Yo, I was trying to see where it started, like which way it's going. Yeah, sorry. Next picture. Disposal. How loud is my bell? I wonder.
Sentence. I got it first.
Cause he said it before he tapped the bottom.
Same time.
I want to keep my bell here from now on. Huh? I want to keep my bell here from now on. But, Pucky, are you happy you have your sweet now? Your singular sweet now?
It was amazing?
Mm. I love that for you. How did you feel about coming on the show today?
It was amazing. I felt like we connected. It was a good conversation.
Pucky, I'm going to see you next Saturday. But thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. You're an amazing friend, an amazing content creator, and a good businessman. But even though he's not very serious at photoshoots, you say you're looking for the boss. This guy's out here running around. He'll be running around singing songs, mind you, but we move. So yeah, I'm really grateful that you came today.
Thank you for having me. You're an amazing human being.
Stop, Pucky. Like, bro, like, don't, like, chill on me. I won't lie. But any Anyways, thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in this Thursday. Make sure to check us out next Thursday again. Same time, same place on The Real Network. This is Say Less. I might have to let it drop.